Hi, I'm Neil Stavem. I want to thank you for listening to this podcast from Connecting Faith. There are many more podcasts available at our website, myfaithradio.com. And your support makes this possible.
Always expect something good on your lunch hour. Connecting Faith with Life.
Hi, welcome to Connecting Faith. I'm Neil Stavem. I'm sitting in for Joe Bender today. Glad to have you along. Looking forward to wrapping up the week with some good conversation. We're going to talk money and give you, all of us really, an opportunity to say by June 10th, we could be living differently. We could be experiencing a better financial situation and maybe just a better outlook on life. Now, we're going to take the six-week money challenge for our personal finances during the upcoming hour. So stick around for that, and definitely want to have you join in if you have a question. I do want to just mention, Ted, that next month, the third Thursday in May, we'll be having a studio audience. We're doing our Ask the Professor show in front of a live studio audience. So I guess, audience is generally live anyway.
Yes, right.
We assume. But we're inviting folks in the at least Twin Cities area that want to come in, just be a part of the live audience, you're welcome to do that.
Yeah, it's free, and you can sign up online at myfaithradio.com. We're going to have a good time talking to our professors and asking Bible questions.
And there will be treats.
There will be treats. Sure. Oh, good.
That was the only reason the professors were coming.
Well, so now we might have to cap it. We have to have a limit,
So go to the webpage of myfaithradio.com and then click on the Connecting Faith show page, and you can get the sign up right there and just let us know you're coming. You bring the family, maybe get homeschoolers, or you want to just come on out, and love to have you on the conversation. It's Ask the Professors, where we take Bible questions. So talk, faith, the church, theology, all those kind of things. So it's a great opportunity to get your questions answered and just be a part of it.
Should be a great time. Also on our website, a great opportunity. It's our fourth annual Faith Radio Writers Contest. So if you're an aspiring author, check that out. Sign up, submit your material. You could get published.
That's right. These both fiction and nonfiction submissions are welcome. The theme this year is redemption. So and we've got details on all about that. And, of course, if you have been listening any length of time, we've done this over the past several years. A lot of fun. Registration or entry deadlines coming up the end of May. So just be thinking about it, be writing, and then submit yours. Looking forward to it.
You never know what can happen. Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, our guest today was a military man for a number of years, got into financial planning work, and ended up writing a couple of books, and we're going to talk about one of them today. Several years ago, he wrote a book called Dollars and Uncommon Sense, Basic Training for Your Money. And the book we're going to reference is called 6 Week Money Challenge for Your Personal Finances, written by my guest Steve Repack, is a certified financial planner, a financial literacy speaker, an Army veteran, and author. And he's been a frequent guest on a number of media outlets and writes for many others. And we're honored to have him with us today to talk money. Steve, welcome to Connecting Faith.
Hey, thanks for having me on, gentlemen. I appreciate it.
I want to find out, we're going to get a little bit about your story, because that makes a little difference, I think, in the perspective that you have to offer. But maybe just to start with, when we think about, a money challenge for our personal finances, I guess most of us probably have a challenge or two. What do you think is the biggest hindrance to overcoming those financial challenges for most people?
I think what it is that people try to make it harder than what it actually is. If you can add and subtract, you can do my job. basically, you have income, minus your expenses, and that's your cash flow. And, you want to have a positive number. And, a lot of times people make it a lot more difficult. And, finances, they're easy. But what I think the biggest hindrance is our money attitudes and our behaviors. And that's what's really hard for people to change.
You had to change some behavior. Maybe just to begin our conversation by telling a bit about your story, because there was a time when you had some significant debt, right?
Oh, definitely. You know, I come from very humble beginnings, so it's not like I'm here preaching at people saying that you need to do. I mean, I actually made very bad decisions. I joined the military right out of high school, you know, and everything was paid for in the military, you know, your food, your clothes, your housing. But I always lived paycheck to paycheck. And, you know, once I got my first promotion, I got my first credit card, and I think I had that credit card maxed out even before my signature was even dry on the back of the card. And, you know, throughout my military career, I just kept telling myself that, you know, once I make more money, I'll be able to get out of debt and all my finances would be better. But, you know, every promotion, you know, I'd get my credit limit be raised and I'd max out my credit card. And you know, make the long story short is after 12 years of service, I left the military with over $32,000 of credit card debt. And, you know, I always say that God has a sense of humor and can use anyone. And I'm a prime example because basically, you know, I landed a job in finance. So here I am, you know, helping people with their finances. And I had over $32,000 worth of credit card debt.
Well, probably made you a bit uncomfortable a time or two, just trying to get some advice. So was there a tipping point or a turning point where you said, you know, I can't do this job and live like this? And obviously you're married and starting a family. So that all added to it, I'm sure.
Yeah, it was just basically I had all these misconceptions about money because, like I said, I was never around it, and I just expected the people that had, you know, people that had money, I expected them to be like doctors and attorneys. You know, it's like, how could regular people have money? And the people that I worked with early in my career, they were just regular people, you know, school teachers, retired military, people that worked at Walmart, and they were able to accumulate hundreds of thousands of dollars. And I'm like, oh my gosh, you know, it's so I had to change the way I thought about money. And, you know, I understood that it doesn't matter how much money you make, it's how much money you spend that determines what you have left over. And, you know, then I started, you know, turn to the Bible, you know, applying biblical principles to my finances. And I think that was really what was the biggest turning point in, you know, with my money situation.
You know, changing the way we think about money probably has to happen before we can change the way we handle our money, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's the truth. And I, you know, it all belongs to this, is that God wants us to be a good steward with our finances. And once we acknowledge that it's not our money, that it's something that God is blessing us with and that he expects us to manage it better, you know, that's when I started saying, gosh, I need this, you know, I really need to have a better attitude with the money that I'm managing. And like I said, that definitely helped me out to get out of debt and, you know, help others and encourage others, because that's one of those things that a lot of people struggle with. And, you know, when you're dealing with people that have a lot of money, you get in this little bubble, but that might represent 2% of the population. I mean, 98% of us are just really struggling, living paycheck to paycheck, have a ton of credit card debt, nothing in savings, and very little hope. And God does not want us to lead our lives like that. And number one, you know, if we have a ton of credit card debt, I mean, we just can't be effective. You know, we just can't minister to others because, you know, we're worrying about debt. We're worrying about how we're going to pay our bills. And so we just can't be effective in ministry. We can't be good parents. We can't be good workers. We just can't be good all around until, you know, we, you know, change our financial situation.
Your previous book is called Dollars and Uncommon Sense, Basic Training for Your Money. And I guess, as you said, kind of at the outset, we make it too hard. But it seems like common sense isn't all that common when it comes to money these days. Did we just not learn it in school or from our parents?
You know, I think what it is that we look at the world and the world lies to us. Like, for example, that, you know, the world tells us that we need to have this big house, new car, fancy clothes in order to be happy. And so people get wrapped up on, okay, you know, if I need this stuff to make me happy. So they overspend, they get in credit card debt. And like I said, it's just a big lie, because, you know, God doesn't care what we're driving or what we're wearing. You know, God wants us to be kind. God, you know, God wants us to help others. You know, and if we could start, you know, being more God-focused and less world-focused, then our money issues will just kind of completely go 180.
So talk a little bit about the six-week money challenge for your personal finances. You know, lots of books on financial advice out there. What's unique about this? And maybe just to give it, before we take our first break, give us a little snapshot summary.
You know, I break it down like this, is that, you know, only when we challenge ourselves to become better, we can become better. I wanted to, you know, have a book out that, like, for example, I love Dave Ramsey. I like his Financial Peace. I was looking to put a book together to help small groups and individuals. Because what I kept on hearing was, Steve, you know, me and my wife are just fighting because, you know, the husband just doesn't never want to go out to eat because of the debt they have. And, you know, some people just need a different approach to managing assets. And it's the same thing. We're all wired differently, and sometimes we need to be encouraged differently. So, for example, some people need a kick in the butt. They really need to be, hey, this is what you need to do, you know, and very, very harsh. And for me, you know, I just believe in a little bit more hand-holding, you know, a little bit more encouraging. Don't be so, you know, judgmental. So I wanted to have a book where we can give the basic tenets of finances, but just create a different atmosphere and help people without really making them feel bad, you know. And like I said, some people really need to feel bad to get motivated, but some others don't. And so, like I said, I wanted to create a book that was more like for small groups, and that's why it's a 6 weeks. You know, it takes 6 weeks for people to change behaviors. So I'm thinking, okay, let me develop a program step by step through each week where we do different tasks, and at the end of the 6 weeks, we can evaluate. So, like, for example, you know, week one is the foundation of the book, and it's basically, you know, what God says about money and how we should give of our time and our financial resources. And then so at the end of the week, you know, we give specific challenges. These are four challenges that you need to complete by the end of the week. And then I always give somebody an additional challenge that they need to come up with. And that's why I like the book, because, you know, it's going to be for everybody, because it's not just my challenges that you have to develop your own challenges. It's going to make it relevant for you. And then, you know, week two, I get into spending. Week three, we talk about debt and credit. Week four talks about savings and investing. Week five talks about, you know, insurance and financial planning documents, such as, you know, power of attorneys and wills and stuff. And that's not in a lot of finance books. And then I wrap up week six is basically a review, and basically we conduct an assessment to see, you know, what are some of the things that we've done well, some of the things that we've done bad, and what can we do to improve them.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're going to cram 6 weeks here in the next 45 minutes, and encourage you to join in the conversation with us. If you have a question, I want to get some good advice about your personal finances. We're talking the 6 week money challenge with Steve Repack. Steve, certified financial planner, and he's a military veteran, and he's going to inspire and encourage us to change our financial lives by committing to a biblical boot camp, if you will. You can join in the conversation at 877-933-2484. That's 877-93-FAITH. We'll talk about the importance of giving and debt, savings, and, you know, how we can kind of keep hope and not lose momentum when we're trying to get out of the situation we might be in. Also, how to encourage each other and not be critical, be balanced in our life. All that coming up. Steve Repack's my guest today. We're talking 6 week money challenge. Love to hear from you. 877-93-FAITH. Talk about God's promises. God has a lot to say about money. In fact, financial matters are mentioned in the Bible more often than prayer, healing, or mercy. And still, a lot of people living paycheck to paycheck and struggling and living in fear. We want to talk about how we can change that and take a 6 week money challenge for your personal finances. That's the title of the latest book from Steve Repack, a certified financial planner and a speaker, and is passionate about helping people that are in debt like he was get out of debt and get on the right track. Steve, just curious, how long did it take you to get out of that 30,000 plus in credit card debt that you had?
It was close to 4 years, and it was painful, and it took a lot of sacrifices. And that's why, you know, I tell people I know exactly what it feels like. So it's not, I'm never here to preach at anybody. You know, I know, you know, I live paycheck to paycheck, and I had a ton of credit card debt. My credit was messed up. I had nothing in savings, and I just know how just how bad it feels. And like it says, you have to make sacrifices, and if you're willing to put in the hard work, you know, you will be rewarded. But, you know, there's no such thing as, you know, there's no secrets getting rich overnight or getting your finances fixed overnight. You know, just like your walk with Jesus, that's just, you know, it's a lifestyle change, and you just have to commit to yourself that, hey, I'm going to have good days and I'm going to have bad days, but as long as I stay on the right path and make, you know, as long as my decisions, I make more good decisions than bad decisions, you know, you just start getting different results.
Well, we'll talk about maybe some advice for making good decisions, but as you start the book, you talk about, you know, basically here's what the Bible says about finances. Could you maybe just summarize what are some key points that we probably know and have heard, but need to review again?
Ecclesiastes 5:10, those who love money will never have enough. How meaningless to think that wealth brings true happiness. And that's us. You know, it's America, it's the culture, is that we think that money is going to bring us happiness, you know, stuff is going to bring us happiness. And God's telling us that, hey, you know, that's not ever, you know, no matter how much money you have, it's never going to be enough. And you know, another big one that I like is I call it the Christian financial paradox, is that, you know, if you want to have more, then give more. And so we turn to Acts 20, verse 35, and everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak, remembering the words the Lord Jesus said himself, it's more blessed to give than receive. And that's something that is like people that are good, you know, fine, you know, they're good stewards. I mean, they understand that concept that if I want to have more, then I need to give more. And, you know, I need to give more of my time. I need to give more of my financial resources, because, you know, that's the only way that you can demonstrate your faith. And it's also, you know, you're being obedient to God by loving God with all your heart and soul. And, you know, it doesn't, you know, I'm not going to say that, oh, yeah, this is going to magically transform your finances overnight. But I just believe that, you know, giving your time, your talents, and your financial resources, I mean, it's the only way that you can show God that you truly love him and trust him.
We'll dive into a few of the principles here in the 6-Week Money Challenge, but we want to open up the phone lines as well and take your questions, your calls. And we do have Matthew on the line, calling 877-93-FAITH. Matthew, you're on with Steve Repack. Go ahead with your question.
Hello, gentlemen. I'm trying to be a homeowner. I've taken a loan out, and I'm making payments on a 30-year fixed mortgage. And the question is, should I take extra steps? Is it beneficial to take extra steps and make payments toward the principal and get that loan amount smaller faster? Or should I just continue to pay the, you know, monthly mortgage when, you know, every month and build my savings more? I've already got established savings. I'm just curious if it's better to pay the mortgage down faster, if it's a good idea or not.
Okay. All right. Good question. So put money in savings or put money, extra payments in toward a mortgage? What do you think, Steve?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I always tell people that one size doesn't fit all. Think of this with savings. We say we have enough in savings. You know, I look at it this way. If you say, Steve, I have 6 months of my non-discretionary spending saved up already, which means you say, what does that mean? You know, house payment, food. You know, if you lost your job today, could you live 6 months on your savings? And if you say, yes, Steve, I could do that, then, you know, you could consider starting paying down debt. Because the people that we think of debt is just risk. And so, you know, we have a house, the less debt that we have, the less risk that we have. Now, you know, we have to also think about opportunity costs and having our money grow and stuff like that. But, you know, one of the goals for retirement is that, you know, the people that don't have any house debt, don't have any credit card debt, that don't have a car payment, those people need a lot less for retirement. Now, on the flip side is that if you say, Steve, I have a mortgage, I have a vacation house that I'm trying to pay off, I got three houses and a ton of credit card debt, well, maybe you're going to need a few $1 million saved up if you ever want to retire. So, you know, you just have to consider the risk and the rewards. If that, number one, let me just answer the question. If you have 6 months of your bills saved in cash, then you can consider taking extra money to pay down your principal. But just continue to, you know, continue to save for your long-term retirement goals. And, you know, if you could do all three at once, I think that's kind of like, I call it hedging your risk, is that number one, I'm building my short-term savings. Number two, I'm putting away money for my long-term savings. And number three, I'm paying down all my debt. I mean, that's what I would look at.
Okay. Thanks, Matthew, for that call. 877-933-2484 is our phone number. Steve, you talk about building a savings account even if you're in debt. That sometimes seems sort of counterintuitive, like, well, we should just get rid of debt. That should be the number one priority.
Yes, you know, there's a lot of things that I call it God stuff that doesn't make sense, but it's actually good for you. And so that is one of the key concepts of that you need to build your savings before you get out of debt. And, you know, I tell people the cure for greed is to give, and the cure for debt is for savings. And a lot of people say, well, Steve, you know, my credit card's charging me 16% interest, and I'm not getting anything on my savings account. Why should I put any money in my savings? And I just say, you know, you think about those life happen events. You're driving down the freeway, your transmission goes out. If you have nothing in savings, you always have to rely on credit card debt. So that's why I tell people that you should have at least $1,000. You know, make minimum payments on your credit cards, and you want to build your savings to at least $1,000. Once you have your savings built to $1,000, then you can start, you know, concentrating more on your debt. But if you don't have savings, you will never get out of credit card debt, because you always have those life happen events. You know, the dog swallows the golf ball, your kid breaks his arm. You know, you get some type of, you know, your refrigerator goes on the blink, and if you don't have savings, you'll never get out of credit card debt.
It's pretty simple, as you said. So $1,000 minimum, and as you said, really ideally 6 months when we can get to that point, that so that we could live for 6 months without work. That's kind of the amount we need to have to shoot for, right?
Yeah, and it's got to be safe. It's not. Well, I have, you know, my money's in real estate, or my money is in risky investments, or retirement. We're talking about just pure safe, you know, insured savings. Where if something happened tomorrow, I'm able to pull the money out. There's not gonna be any type of penalties and things like that. And a lot of people, they just don't do it. You know, if you look at the numbers out there, I mean, it is pretty scary. I think something close to 72% of Americans don't, you know, they have less than, I think, $5,000 in their savings. It's in their scary numbers. And you know, it comes down to, you know, we just think, gosh, I could just never save that much. And, you know, I thought the same way. And it just comes down to our priorities, is that most of us have no idea what we're spending. We know what we make every week, but we have no idea what we're spending. And once we, you know, start tracking our, you know, exactly where we're spending our money, then we can identify areas that we can reduce. And, you know, once we do that, then we can say, okay, I got this extra money. What should I do with it? Okay, well, put some in savings and pay down debt. And if you can do that, you know, you're starting some good habits, and you just got to continue to do that week after week after week after week. And eventually, you know, you build up your savings, you're out of debt, you know, you're tithing and giving back to God, showing them that you trust them. And your life is a lot less stressful. It doesn't get rid of all the stress, but it can get rid of most of it.
Yeah, just a minute before we take a break, you were talking about savings. I think I read at one point that you moved your savings account into a different bank. Talk about why that was.
You know, it's kind of funny is that I have different banks for different accounts. Like, for example, my savings, I try not to keep my emergency savings in where I do my checking, because what would always happen was I would be tempted to use it. So I basically opened up my first savings account at a bank that was totally different, and it was very hard for me to get that money moved. And I use the same thing for my, you know, I have a vacation account, and what I do is every month I put a little bit of money into my vacation account. And then a year later, I can go on vacation. I don't have to use credit cards. I don't have to stress about it. I do the same thing with my property taxes, because I don't have to escrow my taxes or insurance. So I actually have a bank where every month I sit there and I pay that bill. And then whenever that big bill is due, I have the cash right there available, and it doesn't hurt me.
We'll come back, talk more with Steve Repack. We're talking the six-week money challenge for your personal finances. A new book from Steve Repack, Certified Financial Planner, my guest today on Connecting Faith. I'm sitting in for Joe Bender today. Glad to have you along. We welcome your calls, 877-933-2484. That's 877-93-FAITH.
If you invest your tuppence wisely in the bank, save and sound. Soon that tuppence, safely invested in the bank, will compound.
Compounding interest. We've understood it so much better after Mary Poppins. Thank you, Ted, for that. 877-93-FAITH is our phone number. Talking today with Steve Repack. Steve's certified financial planner, a financial literacy speaker, is a military Army veteran, and author of a new book called 6 Week Money Challenge for Your Personal Finances. You know, by the 10th of June, we could be experiencing life free from some of the challenges that we might be facing right now, because debt is causing many people lost sleep, living paycheck to paycheck, or maybe, you know, underemployed and not making it ends meet. So how can we do that? We've got this 6 week course that we can go through and getting some good challenge today. And we welcome you to give us a call. In fact, we'll jump into call from John, who's checking in actually from Chicago. John, thanks for calling us today here on Connecting Faith. You're on with Steve Repack. Go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Yeah, this is interesting. I was just sort of cruising through the stations here, and I stumbled upon you guys. So, sort of just a side note and a little bit of a story of my journey over the last couple months. I had been employed for about 15 years, 20 years, and never had lost a job, and you know, you kind of always have in the back of your mind, family, kids, school, house payment, car payment, all these things kind of stacking up. And I'll tell you, with what you said about savings is so impactful, and it, quite frankly, it's what helped bail me out. I don't know what I would have done if I didn't have that little bit of nest egg just to kind of carry me through. And it wasn't so much about not being able to throw out a credit card and make some charges and make some payments. It was the fact that I knew I had enough cushion. And, you know, when this hit, it was catastrophic. I took a deep breath. I stepped back. And, you know, thankfully, I was blessed with the fact that I had saved just enough money to get me through what I had calculated to be 7 months. I've since got out and been able to find a job. But I'll tell you, just the clarity I had and the amount of relief I had knowing that that was there was so little of a disruption to what it would have been, even if I had enough room on my credit cards and I had, you know, a bunch of money in my 401k that I could go to. So I think what you're saying is really powerful, and I'm kind of a testimony to that because I just lived through it.
Well, John, great story. Thank you for sharing that. And Steve, I'm sure you would love to hear stories like that more often than you probably do.
Yeah, I mean, I love to hear people that are prepared because, you know, that's the thing is that, you know, God has never promised us that lives is going to be, you know, we're going to have a perfect life. And, you know, in the Bible, you know, they talk about wars and famines and natural disasters. You know, we have recessions and we have terrible things. And like says, when, you know, God wants us to be prepared, God tells us that there's always going to be, you know, the hardships that are out there and that we need to save it. That doesn't mean that we're saving because we don't trust God. God expects us. Now, there are people that save because of fear and greed, and they're trying to be independent from God. Now, I believe that's a sin, but, you know, Luke 12:21, yes, a person is a fool to store up earthly wealth, but not to have a rich relationship with God. So, you know, people that are saving for the wrong reasons, definitely not a good thing, but God does tell us that, you know, we need to expect the unexpected, you know, job loss or things like that. And as long as that we say, hey, God, you know, I provide, you know, you provide our needs, I trust that you're going to get us through. And like I said, I don't know if it's a test or God, you know, maybe the gentleman that might have been a test from God or not, I have no idea, but you know, he saved and he was able to get through it, and that's some great testimony. Like I said, this should encourage other people that, hey, you know, it's like it's not an if question, it's just a when question. You just want to be prepared, and just to be prepared just so you can minister to others. I mean, that's the name of the game, is that, you know, I think God gives us hardships just so we can, you know, number one, to show that yes, we need God to be able to overcome them, but just to test testify to other people that, hey, you know, you can do this stuff if you keep your eye on the prize and do the right things and trust in God and get good counsel and have good accountability partners and stay encouraged and fight the good fight.
Yeah. You talk a little bit about just maybe some decision-making, because that's really, understanding the right priorities, but also making wise choices, wise decisions. Are there some tips, some things you could tell us about, how do we make those key decisions when it comes to our finances?
We definitely want to pray over, we want to pray all the time. We want to spend time, in God's word. It's like you say, Steve, well, this is a personal finance book. Why are we talking about, why are we spending so much time in the Bible and stuff? But there's just so much rich information that's in there. And if we make good decisions or godly decisions, we're going to be blessed. And when we make those ungodly decisions, we just have to understand that it's not in our best interest and we'll kind of suffer for it. And, a lot of times, especially with needs and wants, God will provide all of our needs. There's nothing in the Bible that says God is going to provide all of our wants. And that's why we get in trouble. It's like we need to eat so we don't die, right? But we don't need to go out every single night or, we need to wear clothes so people don't look at us funny. But, just because I want the newest shoes that just came out or the newest this, that's the stuff that we get in trouble. So we have to distinguish, what are true needs from our wants. And if we can get that right, a lot of our spending decisions would be a lot different.
Say a word about, for someone that's in maybe significant debt of one type or another, we didn't get in there overnight. We probably can't expect to get out overnight. How do we keep momentum and encouragement when we're trying to find little ways to save? So it's like, does skipping a meal out, does it really make that much difference considering the mountain of debt?
It does. Like I said, a lot of times what we do is that we start off with too many, we want to do too much. Like, for example, we'll say that, I'm never going to go out to eat again. I'm never going to do this again. And that's just not realistic. It's almost like somebody saying that I'm never going to eat dessert ever again and they want to lose weight. I mean, the key is that you just need to reduce. And it's not a lot. If you reduce, $5 here, $3 here, $2 there, you're like, well, Steve, that doesn't really sound like much. But when you're putting it to all of your spending, I mean, that might come out to be another $100, $200 extra at the end of the month that you've never had before. And, I try to tell people that, how do you eat a baby elephant? You eat it one bite at a time, and that's the same thing with your debt. Is that you didn't? I did not accumulate $32,000 worth of debt overnight. It took me about 11 years or so to accumulate that much. Well, there's just no way that I'm going to be able to pay that debt overnight. So I had to make those. I had to change my behaviors. I had to start spending less money. And the only way that I could start spending less money is I had to know where I was spending it, because I had no idea where my money was going. But once I started writing down my expenditures, I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, I can't believe I'm spending this much on this. Or, instead of going out to eat every day for lunch, maybe, I started packing my lunch, 4 days out of the 5 days. Instead of going out to eat every single weekend, maybe I went out once a month. I was going to the movies all the time. I'm thinking, okay, maybe I'll just start going to the movies once a month. And start making smarter decisions and making sacrifices. I mean, that's what it came down to, is that I had to make sacrifices and give things up for something that was going to be a bigger prize down the road. And, like I said, if find an accountability partner, somebody that's going to encourage you. That's what I always believe in, is that you can't do this stuff alone. God, that's why God gave us different strengths and different weaknesses. So, we have to rely on God and have to rely on others. So, if you have a problem with your spending, or if you have a problem with sticking with a get out of debt plan, find an accountability partner that's going to encourage you when you need it, and also maybe kick in the butt every once in a while when you need that also.
Now, should that be a spouse, or should it be someone else? Because it seems like, money tensions are often pretty high in marriages.
Oh, definitely. This is what's so funny, is that, a husband could tell a wife something, and a wife could tell a husband something, and they won't agree, but a perfect stranger could tell them, and they're like, oh, I get it now. And I don't encourage you to rely on your spouse. I mean, really use an accountability partner that's somebody else that's not going to be judgmental, that's not going to have their emotions that are tied with it, because that's a lot of times that we make these decisions based on an emotion, and emotions are very, very raw. So if we have a couple that's fighting about money, those feelings are very raw, and it would probably make better sense to, get it, get some advice or to work with somebody. It doesn't have to be in the financial, you know, I'm not saying that, oh gosh, you got to sit down with a certified financial planner to, you know, you can have somebody at church or, you know, somebody at work with that's going to give you good encouragement. And, you know, when you're picking an accountability partner, you want to pick somebody that has their stuff together. Now, if you got a ton of debt and you're saying, I'm going to pick my accountability partner, they have a ton of debt, that's probably not going to work. You need to find somebody that, hey, that they had a lot of debt. You know, what did they do to stick with their plan? And, you know, what type of, you know, decisions that they did differently and do things like that. And, you know, if you stick with it over time, you know, your results are going to get better and better, and eventually you'll be out of debt.
Well, that kind of ties in with Christine, who called in just a minute ago, and she says, my husband and I have accumulated debt through credit card. We owe the IRS, and I'm worried sick about it all. Said that my husband and I don't talk about finances, and it's been very difficult. What advice could you give me?
You know, it's definitely you need to sit down with you know, if you're up to that point. I mean, it's you know, sit down with a certified financial planner to figure out what the issues are, and you kind of want to meet differently, because when you put someone in the same room together, it's very challenging. Like, for example, I had this couple that, you know, the wife was the saver, the husband was a spender, and the wife said, I'm bringing my husband in and you're going to talk to him about it. And when I says, I'll do that, but we're going to meet separately. And, you know, the husband came in all defensive, thinking that, yeah, Steve is going to tell me I need to quit spending. And I told him, you know, hey, if we could put $300 in an account that your wife is not going to say anything about you, that you could spend any way that you want to, would you be happy? And he was like all happy about it, right? And so I says, let me meet with your wife. So the wife came in and she was like thinking, I told the husband that he had to quit spending. I says, you know what? I says, what we're going to do is we're going to put money in an account, into his account, every single month, and he can spend it however he wants to, and you can't question him. But the deal is that he won't spend more than that $300 a month. And she liked that. And it was something that they were able to do. So, you know, they were able to put a plan together. They were able to work it out, and everybody was happy. Because if you tell people that, no, you can't do that, I mean, human nature, we just don't like that type of advice. And, you know, we have to find a happy medium where, number one, that we can still, you know, we have to be able to save. We have to be able to pay down debt. But we also have to set a little bit of money for us to have a little bit of fun. Because, you know, in the long term, if we don't have that little bit of fun money, we just won't stick with the plan, no matter how good the plan is or not.
Good point. Steve, before we take a break, I noticed we were talking earlier about, you know, writing down what you spent. You really had no idea. I know writing down, tracking expenses is not the same as a budget. And sometimes we use the budget word and say, oh, I don't want to do that. So talk about the value of just tracking our expenses.
Gosh, I'm actually doing a home team at my church. It's the 6-week money challenge, so we're actually doing this week by week. And I had a couple that came up to me exactly what you said, is that says my wife is tracking her expenditures, so we put everything on a credit card, and then we know exactly where we spend our money. Well, that is not the truth. Is that you actually doing it after the fact? So you have to be able to do it prior. So for example, you know, and you don't do this for your whole entire life. Maybe you do it maybe once every 3 or 4 months just to see where you're spending. But what you do is that if I spend money, I ask for a receipt, and when I go home that night, I write it down. And if you do it for a few days, you start uncovering wasteful spending or money that you've never knew that you were spending before. You just can't do it after the fact, because it would be the same thing if you say, hey, Steve, what I'm going to do is I want to lose weight, and I'm going to count all of my calories, but I'm going to add all my calories up at the end of the month. Well, that's not going to help you. I mean, basically, it's told you all the bad stuff that you did throughout the month. So you have to do it at the beginning. You have to track it right now. Or if you were a parent and I said, okay, where are your kids? Well, I have no idea where they are, but I could tell you at the end of the month. Well, that makes you a bad parent. You need to know where your kids are at all times. The same thing with your spending decision. You need to know exactly where I'm spending at right now, not what I did 3 weeks ago, but what you're doing right now.
All right. Good words from Steve Repack. We're going through a 6-week money challenge for your personal finances, the title of his new book. Steve's certified financial planner, and he's an Army veteran, a financial literacy speaker. Shouldn't be that hard to say that, but I guess when we start talking about money, you get a little tense. Looking forward to more conversation ahead. We'll talk a bit about vacation planning, too, because, you know, 6 weeks from now, we might be just ready to do that vacation. So how could we live life differently if we went through the 6-week money challenge? More on that with Steve Repack coming up. And we take your calls as well at 877-933-2484. Got to have it. Hey, hey. Some people really need it.
typical and anything but usual. We know that there's no such thing as impossible.
You might be feeling that with your money, saying, you know, there's no way out. No, there's some hope and help, and we've been offering some today. Practical advice from Steve Repack, by the way. You can find out more at his website, steverepack.com. That's R-E-P-A-K, steverepack.com. Or his Facebook page, the Steve Repack 6-Week Money Challenge on Facebook. And you can find out more, lots of resources, videos and such there that you can find some encouragement. Steve, do most of us have personal goals for our finances? I mean, we're talking a little bit about vacation, but, you know, do we think beyond kind of here's what we want to do today or tomorrow? And is it important that we have some solid financial goals?
You know, the answer to your first question, most people spend more time planning for vacation than they do for retirement. So, yeah, the answer to that is that most people don't have any financial goals, which is kind of scary. And I think, you know, God wants us to plan. God wants us to have goals. God wants us to stay on track. You know, just like God, he had a plan on how he was going to create everything. You know, it's, you know, he worked for 6 days and he rested on the seventh. And, you know, it's like, if we do more things that, like how God does them, it just, you know, like I said, he knows exactly what to do, and all we have to do is not be hard-headed and just follow his example and follow his son's example. And, you know, all of a sudden, you know, our life gets to be a little bit easier. It doesn't mean that it's going to be easy, but it's going to be easier. And but, you know, it takes people pain to learn that. Like, for example, you know, $32,000 of credit card debt. You know, it took me pain to say, all right, Steve, you know, you've made all these bad decisions. I got sick and tired of stressing over this stuff and feeling yucky all the time. And, you know, once I started changing my behaviors and I started changing the things that I did, I started getting different results. And that's all it takes, is just behavioral changes and picking a plan and sticking with it and having an accountability partner.
Well, as we talked earlier, I wrote down, you know, reduce, not overreact. So we don't have to eliminate something like vacations, but maybe just a word about, if we're thinking vacation, it's kind of that season of the year. Any advice about that?
Oh, yeah, Ecclesiastes 8:15. So I commend you to the enjoyment of life, because there is nothing better for a person under the sun to eat and drink and be glad than joy will accompany them and told all day long the life God has given them under the sun. You know, I just said just a second ago that, you know, God even rested on the seventh day, so we should follow his example. I believe that we should take time away so we reconnect with our friends and family to recharge our batteries. And, you know, for vacation, we can do it smarter. I mean, we don't have to get in credit card debt. And just to, I'll just have, you know, two or three tips. You know, number one, be frugal. You know, if you want to save money, you know, consider taking a vacation off season. You know, you can find some really great getaway packages, not taking them during the peak month. And, you know, instead of, you know, maybe staying at a resort, consider renting out a condo or apartment, you know, and that way you can have the ability to cook some of your meals instead of eating out all the time. And, you know, if you have a family of four or more, you know, taking out people to eat every day three times a week can eat up all your vacation budget. So, you know, those are things to consider. Another one is, I call it, it's called sharecation. You know, it's really not a word, but it's a way to reduce the cost of vacation. So basically, you can rent a big house or a big condo and spread the cost out between a few families. And what's so cool about that is that usually, you know, when you have other people around you, your kids act a lot nicer. So it's a way to control your kids. And also, you know, you share the, you know, good times together. And the big thing is, I save money because I'm not spending so much.
Mm. Good words. We should, because Carissa is getting married here soon, we want to give some advice for newly married couples, or maybe for a young adult just graduating, heading out on their own.
You know, that's a lot of things that, you know, if we can start off on the right track, it's a lot easier to stay on right course than starting off on the wrong thing. And, you know, we get married and we think that it's okay to get a bunch of debt. So we want to buy, you know, the new refrigerator. We just want to spend a lot of money, and we're all euphoric from, you know, just the happiness of being married and stuff like that. But we really have to start off on the right track. And just an easy rule to remember is that, and this rule kind of works no matter how much money you make. I call it the 10-10-80 rule. and that you give the, you know, you give away the first 10%, you save the next 10%, and you live off the rest. And if you can do that, no matter how much money you make or how much money you don't make, you could always, you know, you're always giving to God, you're always putting money away for savings, and you're living off of less. And that's the cornerstone of personal finance, is that how to learn how to live on less. Because if I can live off of less, then I'm not going to get in credit card debt. I'm always going to be able to build my savings. I'm always going to be able to make the right decisions.
One of the things that you touched on that this book focuses on, the 6-week money challenge, your personal for your personal finances, is dealing with those important issues, those papers, insurance, some of those other things. Just say a word about how we need to be able to keep track of those parts of our lives as well.
You know, there's a lot of people that they don't have their wills together. You know, for example, if you have kids, I mean, could you imagine that, you know, you're going to rely on the government or the state to tell you where your kids are going to be? So you need to have your financial documents in order. For example, your wills, your power of attorneys, your living wills, your health care power of attorneys. Because, you know, we think of it, you know, is that that's what old people do or people with a bunch of money have. And the truth is that no matter how much money you have, you need to have your estate planning documents together. Because, like I said, if you become incapacitated, you want to have somebody selected that has your same values and that same principles to make decisions on your behalf. You don't, like I said, you don't want somebody else to decide where your kids are going or how your assets should be divided. I mean, you want to have as much say into that as possible, or at least have someone that you can designate that, like I said, that has the same belief values and the same faith as you do.
We've got a few minutes left, just maybe to wrap up, focusing, I know, on giving. It's sort of the paradox, right, that, you know, he who refreshes others is himself refreshed. I'm interested maybe just from your perspective, how did you become a cheerful giver? I mean, you spent some time trying to get out of some significant credit card debt, but talk about what part giving played in your life.
You know, that's the big thing that people just don't understand is that, you know, number one, God does not need your money. God doesn't do it. God doesn't need your money. But the people that are most joyous are the people that ones that give the most. And like I said, number one, you say, well, Steve, how is that going to help me with my finances? Well, if you're giving, you have less money to live off of, so you have to start tracking your expenditures and start spending less. But believe it or not is that, you know, I wrote an article, and it was basically talking about, you know, should I give 10% gross or net, or, you know, is it okay to give less than 10%? You know, my answer is yes, is that it's not the amount that you give, but it's how you give. You know, the things that come to mind are, I need to give anonymously. I need to give cheerfully, sacrificially, willingly. So, like, for example, if you're saying, okay, I'm giving my 10% because my pastor told me, but you're not doing it cheerfully, God doesn't like that. I mean, God rather you give out of your heart, you know, giving cheerfully, giving sacrificially. And then there's people that have that they've been blessed financially and they're giving their 10% because, you know, they dutifully give their 10% out of their abundance. Well, God doesn't want you to give out of your abundance. God wants you to give sacrificially. So, like I said, the 10%, I know that tithe means 10%, but believe it or not, God doesn't need our money, and God rather us give because we're doing it because we trust God. That's why we give, that we're saying that, hey, God, I believe that you're going to provide all my needs. I'm going to give because this all belongs to you, and you're just letting me be a steward of your finance, you know, of the resources that you're blessing me with. And most of all is that you're going to be a lot more joyful if you're giving.
Hard to beat, you know, cheerfully, sacrificially, willingly, joyfully. Those are good words. We can hang on to those and apply them. The 6-week money challenge for your personal finances, a book from Steve Repack. Steve, you've got some resources, I know, on your Facebook page and on your website, too. Just say a bit about what we can find if we want more information.
Yeah, definitely. I did this one thing called the 1 Minute with God. So I have a devotional series where you can wake up every morning and watch one of the Facebook videos or go on YouTube. And it's actually, you know, I give a verse. I talk about the verse, then we end in prayer. And like I said, I really believe in spending time with God. That's where it all starts, you know, praying, reading the Bible, things like that. Because the more that we're spending with God, the more answers we're going to get. Because we're not going to get our answers from the world, because the world's going to continue to lie to us and get us in trouble. But the more time that you spend with God, I mean, you know, your life is just going to be that much better. And it's not rocket science. It's just the truth. And a lot of times we just don't make enough time for it. And it's like, I'm not telling you that you need to have, you know, I'm not judging you saying, oh, you should have your hour of prayer time that you spend with God. I mean, I know that people's lives are busy. So if you're not spending any time with God, all I'm asking you is to challenge yourself to spend a minute with God. You know, and that's why I did those morning videos where, hey, I wake up in the morning, I got my little 1 minute video, I spent time with God, and that's just the start. Now I want you to do more, but you have to take baby steps and don't try to get overwhelmed by making these big, humongous goals that are just going to end up getting you frustrated and you just give up.
So break it down, do a little challenge each week, and start each day and see what God will do as we start putting him first. Steve Repack has given us some great information. You can find out more at his website, steverepack.com. That's Steve, R-E-P-A-K, steverepack.com. Or Facebook page, it's Steve Repack 6-Week Money Challenge. Check that out. Steve, great to connect with you. Blessings to you in your work and your ministry.
Thank you so much. Blessings to you. Thanks for having me on.
Steve Repack joining us today here on Connecting Faith. If you missed part of the show, you can always catch it online. We post the interviews on the Connecting Faith show page, and you'll find that at myfaithradio.com. That's myfaithradio.com. Then click on Connecting Faith.